Welcome to another episode of JFT, Just a Few Takes, the snacks and sports podcast, and everything in between. Checking in once again with our pandemic diary and just a little making sure everybody's doing what they need to do, taking time out for them, taking a minute for mental health, taking a minute for just to get the facts straight on the hygiene and the vaccination and all that.
And go have fun. Get out there and enjoy yourself. You know, it's been a interesting road going through all this. He's like a roller coaster, it seems like, roller coaster ride. But you know, I went out to Arizona this week, and it was just weird to have nobody wearing masks and just like signs on the door saying, hey, if you've had both your shots, you know you're cool. So it seems like California's a little bit behind on that, but
Or safer,
but you know, it's always better, like we say, to run through the finish line. So stay clean, but go out there and have some fun. That's what I say.
Yeah, why not, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now that we got that out the way, let's go into some great sports moments. And there's tons to choose from. There's so many to go through that we'll just narrow it down to a few from a couple different sports that we liked. And one that sticks out to me, we'll just go with our first Reggie on the list, and that's Reggie versus the Knicks, when he scored 8 points in 9 seconds. I believe there is, I think it said 16.7 seconds on the game clock. And it was just this super exciting moment. There was the whole back and forth with Spike Lee. He's getting him the choke sign. Spike Lee's yelling at him.
Yeah, and just that's one of those instances where everything had to go right.
Oh, yeah.
For one side, and everything had to go wrong for the other side. Like not be able to, run the clock down and just every time stop the clock. And that's what they tell you at the end. If you're ahead, significantly,
yeah,
it's time to start running out the clock. That's when the strategy comes in. But they couldn't make a shot the last one when Ewing shot that shot.
And Starks missed the free throws.
And Starks missed two. Everything had to go, completely wrong. So when he did the choke sign, to Spike Lee, it was like, you little bitch. There you go. That's what you get, You choke. You want to talk all your crap, but you choke. You got to be able to back it up.
Sure, yeah, and I think even the fans turned on Spike at that point.
Oh, I didn't know that, really?
Well,
Just bandwagoners then.
Well, possibly, that gave Reggie the extra motivation to go superhuman.
Yeah, and I think that's it, superhuman. And sometimes when you're superhuman, it's luck. There's always a form of luck.
That's sports, man.
But good or bad, and everything went bad for the Knicks, and everything went good for them. But to have that kind of like, no, this is the most important, it's a time when they just rise and go, oh no, I'm just gonna go into that middle chill zone and it just flowed. I mean. And it was epic to watch, but when you get that, I guess the closest feeling I ever had was one time I was playing basketball not too long ago at Park Point in Santa Rosa, and I remember there was four older guys on my team, and it was all young, good
athletes. So like the Lakers this year.
They were all good players, and I just looked and I go, the only way we're going to win, because the guys I was playing with were older, was if I shot. And so I said, okay, game goes to 15, threes and twos. If I hit the three every single time.
It's 5-on-5?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I can do this, but I made up my mind looking at the outcome. My basketball IQ just said, you gotta be the scorer. And I came down and I hit I hit five three-pointers in a row without it missing. Won the game 15 to 12 or whatever. You got to win by two.
In the zone.
I was just in the zone, and I remember I was backed up against the very back. Because now they're on, they're on. I mean,
after you hit the first two, yeah, they got to stick to you, right?
Yeah, they knew I was a good shooter. My backboard was magic, And so, because I put some weird little twist on it. So
you hit bank shots? Is that what you
said? Oh, no, I was a bank man. I mean, the kids one time at 24-Hour Fitness kept calling me their geometry teacher.
And hitting
finally,
them angles?
Finally, I said, why you keep calling me? Do I look like your geometry teacher? Because I was a lot older. And I go, no, man, it's because you
give them detention.
You hit from every angle.
There you go.
And then the funny thing was, I was playing with these other kids around that time, and I shot one over the backboard, regulation backboard. You know, they NBA.
On purpose? NBA,
no, because I was putting that high arc on it and trying to hit that spot. The backboard was not big enough for me.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You know, because of my angles.
You do it like indoor soccer. You're trying to get it off the wall.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it was so this kid, I shot one over the backboard, and the kid. One of the kids like, you're no good. You shot it over the backboard. You're no good. I said,
trash talking.
After the game, I said, son, come over to the corner. And I went to the very far corner, and I just started kissing him right off the very, very top at the sharpest angle you could ever imagine.
Wow.
You know,
what does that call it? A teardrop?
Yeah, and I do my little teardrop, and yeah. I said, see how every one of them's hitting right where the rubber is? That one that I shot, you laughing at me because I shot it over the backboard. If the backboard had extended, that could have gone in. Because yeah. The way I dropped this, I put this little drop kiss on the right. But then they knew they couldn't do it from the right side. But it didn't matter. I could do it from the left side.
That's all you need is one side, right?
But that kid, the guy that was guarding me, and he was a good athlete, and he was bigger than me. You know, when I finally, he was out on me, you know, out past the three-point line, like, you know, out there, you know, farther, you know. Because he just looked at me in the eyes. He goes, You can't do it. You're not going to do it. Like he was like, and I go, oh, yes, I am. And I shot and made it. But, you know, what I always did was I didn't go gotcha or game until the release. Because if you get too cocky, like anything in sports, and you go gotcha as you're shooting or before you shoot, that's too much pressure. I would always wait until I release, because you know on the release when it was going in, you could feel it if you got the good roll. But I went over, dude, like gotcha every time. So it almost looked like he always says gotcha and it goes in. But that was a fun game. But watching Reggie Miller just kind of reminded me of that, like, you know, David and Goliath. You know, he's coming back.
Yeah, it was the New York Knicks. It was at Madison Square Garden. I mean, that's the biggest stage.
I mean, it's here's your home court advantage, and you got the best home court in the NBA. And we just came in and said, it ain't over till it over. You know, there was no fat lady involved.
No, I think even Mark Jackson was on that team.
Was Mark Jackson?
I think so. I'm not sure if he was, but I know that he played for a minute with Reggie and Indiana.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Announcer.
It might have been after that. But yeah. And God, great Warrior
the
coach.
Davidsons brothers. Who was it? I forget their names, but there was two of them. One was center and one was power forward. They were really good. That was a pretty good. I mean, those were two good teams. And then Patrick Ewing, Hall of Famer.
Oh, yeah. So, and I mean, John Starks, you know.
Yeah,
remember John Starks? He dunked left-handed on
Pippen and Jordan.
Yeah, I mean,
that's the one you're thinking of, baseline.
Oh, when he came to baseline and did it left-handed.
Yeah,
you know, it was sick. It was one of my favorite dunks of all time.
I think he's another awesome story. I think he's a junior college guy.
Yeah, yeah. But he was one of my favorite players.
He was fun to watch
during his period. And when he came to the Warriors,
and that stage was not too big.
When he came to the Warriors at the end of his career, oh, that was a treat come true, a dream come true.
Yeah,
you know, get to watch him. No, I loved him, but then to see him miss the two free throws, you're like,
it happens.
Whoa, at their home court. And he looked so worried when they showed the close-up.
It's a big moment, man. Free throws are not as easy.
But then Reggie's like, yeah, give me the ball. Automatic. You mean? Yeah. He's just like, here, done it. It was like a machine. Watching a machine.
Yeah, it looked like he was at the fair trying to win tickets.
Yeah, and it's like, hey, I'm impressing the girl. You know, then he did the choke sign. And it was just like, yeah, that was, the biggest stage. And you're going, hey, you fucked up.
Yeah, nowadays they would probably give him a technical for taunting. But that's
But the game was over.
Yep.
He did it after the game.
He did it a few times, I believe. Like, they were, it's him and Spike were having a
no, but I mean, he didn't do the choke thing, yeah, until the game was over. So yeah. At that point, they can't give you taunting. Yeah. Dude, game over.
You might be surprised.
You got to know
nowadays.
When to taunt. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's
I don't even like to call it taunting. That's just how the game plays.
No, you know what? It's letting people know what's real.
It's
sometimes.
Fun. It's fun.
Real. Like,
I like
that's
it.
What happened.
I love a bat flip. I like a good touchdown dance.
Absolutely.
You know?
I mean,
like
the touchdown
stuff.
Dance for me was the funnest part.
Yeah, you know? The showmanship.
You know, because you're weaving and you're doing moves to get there, but then now it's all celebration. You know,
yeah.
I used to love doing it. I never played tackle football except on Thanksgiving with the boys, but I didn't play tackle football, but I played a lot of flag football at Chico State.
You can still do a dance.
You can still, you know, if you
a
do
touchdown,
your moves
a touchdown.
And you get there, that's when you go. They go, oh, okay, this guy's from the city. Let's get rid of him. But
it's fun, right? Yeah, and Reggie was really good with the taunting, the trash talking, and he was super fun to watch play because He played like they play nowadays. He ran around a lot on the court. He was a spot-up shooter, or he'd shoot it off the dribble. He would be amazing with today's rules.
Oh, yeah.
And the way they shoot threes. I mean, he would be awesome.
Reggie, but just one of the all-time greats, but also clutch.
Yeah.
You know, like Bird, clutch.
And he might not even be the best basketball player in his family.
That's true. Yeah, it's true. His I saw a comparison the other day about, I think it was...
Him and Cheryl?
No, it was... I think it was... NBA, WNBA player, Beard or whatever, or I think her name was Bird or something. But anyway, she had the same like record as LeBron, like championships, yeah. MVPs, blah blah blah. It was yeah. like, you know, so that's the equivalent of, you know, the men's team, you know. So, but shouts out to the WNBA, you know, go get your money, girls. You know
that's right,
I mean? And they yeah. can shoot, and they can shoot.
Yeah,
and
they can play.
Play.
It's, yeah, watch them, support them.
Yeah, yeah, they can play. I've seen some girls embarrass some guys, and they're more fundamental. You know, I love it.
They hit their spots, yep, for sure. But Reggie and the Knicks, that was an iconic moment. It's go check out the video. They have tons of them on him, and I think they even are doing a special. They got a special of it where Spike Lee gets to say his side.
Oh, that would be interesting.
Yeah,
because
he's super fan. You gotta, yeah. I mean, he's at like, every game.
I mean, would you? Yeah, you got that kind of presence. I mean, you know, you're part of the team,
yeah.
literally, because you're part of their whole swag.
Yeah,
and then when you choke, it's like oh.
it's an iconic moment. I remember seeing it. It was crazy.
But, you know, choking's out there. I mean, it happens all the time. The thing is, when you're out there playing sports, you know, the best way to be is relaxed. You know, when you're out there, you don't want to be too hyped up. You know
yeah,
I mean?
But when that crowd goes from loud to silence, and you know.
Oh, no, I'm not saying it's not difficult, but there's some people that thrive on
for sure.
On that spotlight, like Jordan. Like, they want that ball when it's game point. You know, a game's on the line. They want to make that last shot. They want to be having everybody go, thanks, we get to play one more game. We don't have to wait 8 games to get in. And again, I was a street baller. I loved it.
When I got there's nothing like it.
When I got on the court, it was
black top.
Fun. You know, and dancing. You know, talking about dancing and making moves. I mean, shaking and baking, you know, moving in a groove. And I mean, you know, yeah, my celebration dances came. Sometimes I'd cut and do something underneath and make a great shot. And they go back dancing, you know, backpedaling dancing.
Shoulders.
But you know what? It wasn't to show up the other team. It was like celebration.
No, you're feeling
like,
yourself.
Yeah, I did good on that one, you know. So
I think it's all part of the game. I love it.
Yeah. So
I'm not mad at it in a little bit.
But don't player hate. You know, you congratulate. Don't player hate. You know.
Well, you up your game. You got to stop them.
Yeah. No, I remember one time I was.
You
playing.
Don't want to see it, then that's how. Yeah.
I remember one time I was in San Jose and. I was playing 24-hour fitness back then, and the guy slammed me into the wall. And
oh, mad?
Yeah, mad. And I didn't get it. And then I looked up at him like, dude, why'd you do that? Like, I'm going up for layup, and he couldn't catch me, so he just slammed me
into
the wall.
Yeah, you don't do hard fouls like that. It's not the finals.
You know, and he just looked at me, and he goes, dude, that's... And he whispered, because he was embarrassed. He goes, that's the only way we can stop you. And that was the day I realized...
Move your feet, buddy.
That it was like, you know, when you... have that game, people you know, they resent.
That's poor sportsmanship, yeah. Especially in a pickup. I don't agree with that, but I hear exactly what you're saying.
Oh, no, I would walk in the gym, there'd be an 8-game wait, and I'd get the, you know, that certain gyms had certain rules, and they would just say, I got on next whoever, they always save a spot for me. Whenever I walked in, there'd be an 8-game wait, they'd save a spot for me. Okay, you're in next, Frank. And, you know, I had this Russian guy, one time.
Yeah, but you shouldn't do hard fouls and pick up.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. This is...
That's weak.
This is how they treated me. You know, the hatred.
Yeah.
So, one day the...
No, I get it.
The two Russian kids, I was helping organize a team, go, oh, who do you think you are? Da, 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 you know?
Is that your Russian accent?
Yeah, and I'm like, who do I think I am? I'm putting a team together. You can be on this team, you can be on this team. I'm making them fair. And so, it was like he had an attitude because of jealousy. You know, he's from a foreign country. He doesn't know how to be smooth, and he was just, but he hated me so much that you know, he would, when he played, he'd always like throw elbows and shit. And one time the play was all the way down the other end of the court, and it was him and me, and he came from behind and did a hook.
He thought he was Drago out there,
right? No, he did a hook and broke my nose. I went to the thing because I had my nose broken. To be a badass, you gotta fucking be willing. I've got, you know, my teeth knocked out, I've had, you know, my nose broken 7 times. You got to be a badass if you're going to be a badass, if you're going to be that way. You got to be like Muhammad Ali. You got to be able to take a punch. And so I'm watching it off and everything. And he did it on purpose. And there was nobody around. And all of a sudden, he comes in and goes, I didn't do nothing. And I just turned and I go, oh, I'm going to kill this guy. And I turned around and beat the hell out of him. And everybody stopped me and like, no, he didn't do it on purpose. He didn't do it because he knew the exact time to do it when everybody was ahead, okay, couldn't see.
So you didn't even have the ball?
No, everything was going down. He came from behind with an elbow meme.
Oh, Russian, a sucker.
Not saying Russian people, but, you know, people in general, I'm just saying he was Russian. I hope my accent didn't offend anybody, but...
Oh, it did.
Okay, sorry. It was probably pretty poor.
No, it's fine.
Hey, you guys made great vodka. What can I say?
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I like the fur coats and all that. But anyway, you know, it's just an ass, but that's when I started to realize you frustrate
people. You gotta protect your neck.
Even though you're nice... You know, you're nice to people and you try to organize games and stuff because your dad was a teacher and people resent that when you have that, you know, ability, but you can back it up. So, yeah, people would hurt me on purpose to try to stop me, but that's fine because now I understand it was, you know, their frustration. But, you know, like I said, don't hate, congratulate. Yeah, when I walked into a gym, people were either like,
that's poor sportsmanship. That's not how the game goes.
Yeah, when I walked into gyms back in those days, people were like, oh, they looked at me like two ways. Oh, there's going to be a show tonight. Or like, oh, that motherfucker that always beats us. You know, I mean, whatever. Enjoy the ride, guys. Enjoy the ride. But don't play or hate. But that's what the world is. It's about to keep it balanced. You got to have the haters and the congratulators. But it's all good.
Yeah, so Reggie versus the Knicks was just an iconic moment. It was super fun to watch. It was... Yeah, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. Even today when we just rewatched the video, and it's amazing. So he gets the inbound pass. He hits that three. Then on the inbounds, he steals it. Hits a step, you know, not really a step back because he used a dribble, but we'll call it a step back three. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, he made
knew
a move.
Knew exactly
yeah,
where to be.
Knew exactly where to be.
And set up and scored
set
up.
Set up and scored
like
again.
Like a machine.
Yep. And then Starks misses the two free throws.
Yep.
Ewing gets the rebound. He misses that shot. So like you said, those two things had to go wrong.
Yeah.
And Reggie gets the rebound.
Because
they
got that rebound, you know.
And then Reggie had to hit those shots. Just cool. Just cold.
Cold. Yeah, just
the exact opposite of the spectrum.
Two free throws. Like, yeah, like you could tell when the guy, he wasn't like rushing to get the ball.
No.
But
it
he
was smooth.
But he wasn't like.
No timeouts.
Yeah. But every time he did something, it was like there was no rush. It was methodical. And just his flow was just like...
Like he did it before.
Yeah, like, oh yeah, I've done this 1,000 times in the backyard with my sister Cheryl.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So, and was it an awesome shooter, or probably still is. Of course she's still an awesome shooter. They're all awesome shooters. You never lose that.
No.
You know what I mean? Once you have that in you, muscle memory, you might take a little bit to get back into it, but it comes back, like riding a bicycle, you know? So, yeah, so, and then... You know, like you said, everything else had to go wrong.
Yeah,
and
but
it did.
There's a. I seen a clip. I forget what video it was on, but it's Reggie and Cheryl, and Reggie. I think they're both in high school, and Reggie has a really good game. And I'm gonna make up these numbers, but it was outrageous. So Reggie thought he did something, and he scored like let's just say he scored 40 or something like that, or 50, we'll say, just to go high. And so he comes home, and Cheryl's there, and she goes, "Oh, go awesome! How'd you do?" You know, and he said, "Oh, I did great, man! I scored 50." And she just kind of looks at the camera. And she's just like, really? That's cool. I scored 100. He thought he was doing something. And Cheryl's like, not so fast, my friend.
Hold on. That's got to be the younger brother, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, beautiful. Yeah, I just.
It's still super impressive. It's a great story. I probably butchered it, but yeah, it's she was amazing.
Yeah, unbelievable. I mean, didn't she get a tryout with the NBA? Her and that other gal back then? Yeah, I think Cheryl.
I'm sure. I mean...
But no, they actually gave NBA tryouts before the WNBA. And I think Cheryl Miller was one of them, but don't quote me if I'm wrong. Or, you know, but...
They should have if they didn't.
Yeah, but great shooters. I mean, I guess that's a good gene in the family. But isn't it funny how, like, in some families you got the shooters and the athletes and then the brother or the sister is like, oh, no, I want to be a doctor or a lawyer. So oh, don't get the ball near me. but some people just, it just seems like it runs in the genes, like, you know, Ken Griffey Jr. and Ken Griffey Sr. and the Millers. I mean, it's cool when you see
that. It's really cool, the sports families. It's the family business, the Mannings.
Yeah, and then what about those two twins?
The Currys?
That went from,
The Lopez's, I think maybe you're thinking of?
Mm-mm.
Or the ones that used to coach for the Warriors?
No, the one, oh, those two twins that came out of Stanford.
Yeah, I think that's the Lopez brothers.
And one of them came out is gay?
Oh, no. No, but that's...
What were those guys? Those guys.
I forget, but yeah, one of them was just the coach with the Warriors.
Yeah, solid ball players. Solid ball players. Yeah, and they were twins, so they both got the same... they must have been... Oh, God, why can't I think of their names? Oh, God, it's killing me. But you guys know who I'm talking about. But yeah, runs in the family, you know?
Yeah, good genetics.
What is the old saying? The apple didn't fall too far from the tree.
Yeah, that's a popular one.
Yeah, I like that one. And then, let's see, what else? What else is a good event that's would work in that category?
Oh, the our next Reggie on the list?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, for sure. It's Reggie Jackson, Mr. October, and it was the Yankees versus the Dodgers, 1977.
Oh my God. Yeah, it's so funny that it's like Mr. October, you know, I was watching that game, Joseph Westlake, when I was a little kid. It happened in 77, so I was 77. I was 14 years old, 15 years old, somewhere around there. And it was packed, Joseph Westlake, just packed. So there was a big waiting room. And the bar was big, so at that those days they let the kid, you know, if you're under 21, you know, stay
a little bit more lenient
in that big room because you're waiting to see a thing. And they had the bar there, and you know, it was an hour wait. You know, back in those days, you know, my dad would wait an hour. He came out for
it was an event.
Yeah, and he was like, no, we're waiting.
We'll put on your Sunday best.
Yeah, we always dressed up. I mean, not always, but you know, to those places we did. And I'm watching the whole thing unfold because I was like, oh, I don't want to go to Joe's tonight. I wanted to watch the game. But then I got to watch the game because it was in the bar. So
even
like,
better with that atmosphere, all those people.
Yeah, it was like one of those nights that just kind of magically went together. And I'm actually sitting there and watching him hit these home runs. And then, you know, by the time he hit the third one, it was just like you knew he had done something special. I mean, it was like, whoa, you know, Arizona State product, A's. You know, played for the A's with the three championships in a row. I remember when he pulled his hamstring in the World Series and was in crutches, but the A's still won. But just the power. And Reggie, a lot of people might not know this, I remember this, but because he hit so many home runs, you're thinking about that. But the guy had a cannon. I remember one time in right field.
It was Bo Jackson.
Yeah, I was at a game, in the A's game, and the guy, you know, he got the ball, and the guy was going to third, and he lasered him. And another time I saw him another game, and he the same thing happened, but the guy didn't go, and he threw a perfect strike to the third baseman from, you know, deep right field, you know, where, you know, like where you most people would tag because you'd have to have a perfect throw.
Did he play right or left?
He played right field.
He was a
right fielder. And he threw that ball on a laser, on a line, just like a strike. And then the whole crowd was like, whoa. And the base runner that went halfway and then decided to go back, went back and just was shaking his head like, I'm glad I came back.
Yeah, had a cannon out there.
I mean,
how was his defense?
Besides
the cannon.
Oh, solid. Oh, yeah. Reggie Jackson was a ball player all the way around, you know.
Wouldn't he hit for average, too? Wasn't he...
I think he had a really good average, but he just had that tomahawk swing. And I actually, you know, one of the things I emulated from him as a kid was he would drop that. He was so much powerful. He swung from the hips, which I did as well. But also he turned that back leg, that left leg down. So a lot of people try to go down and golf that ball and hit it. He would see where it is, go down, and then go down to it so he'd hit that more level.
So he'd take his whole swing down to the level of the pitch instead of just using your arms to kind of golf swing it.
Right.
He would kind of like, almost like a snake.
Yeah.
You know, or a slinky.
Yeah, he would bend that knee, but if the ball was up here, he wouldn't bend his knee because he wanted to get that straight line.
Yeah.
But I was talking to you earlier about it. It was like that's when I realized, oh yeah, I always, you know, did that technique, and I had that kind of, you know, power. Like when you said he hit that last. It wasn't funny watching it. He hits the The first one crushes it.
Yeah.
The second one he hits upper deck, and then the third one he hits the center field, like was 475.
Yeah.
Was it, like he kept rising his game. Oh, let's hit the next one a little farther. I'm getting warmed up. You
He's
know,
getting dialed in.
And just the sheer power. But you watch that last swing. You know, when he turns his knee down. And the one before he kept up and kind of tomahawked it. I mean, he went to the level of where that ball was pitched by adjusting that back quad. Calf, you know, where he drops the calf down. You know? And that gave him that level of power. And he timed it with swinging with his hips. He was a big boy, but mathematically his swing was perfect. You know what I mean? Those swings were perfect. You know, just a joy to watch. And clutch, Mr. October. The only other person that's ever done that, and he did it twice, was Babe Ruth. So
yeah, that's a good company, right?
You know, yeah. So but another Reggie is...
Yes.
You know, Reggie's in the house. We just got to think of another Reggie.
Right.
Reggie Sanders?
I don't know who that is. But also, Reggie was dope on the big screen. You could see him in Naked Gun. He played himself in that when he was gonna must kill the queen.
Yeah. So I mean, yeah, we got some good Reggies, but I mean, but we can't just stick to Reggies because I'm sure there's more. Who else is out there? You think?
Oh, you want to do? So next is our third sport would be boxing, and we'd have to go with Rumble in the Jungle.
Oh, okay.
1974, 32-year-old Muhammad Ali against George Foreman. He came with the okey-doke, the old rope-a-dope.
Oh.
Just tired out Foreman. Just such an amazing fight.
Yeah, you know, with Muhammad Ali, what made him...
Like, where do you begin?
Yeah, I mean, what made the best... Sometimes the best defense is a good offense. But with, you know, Muhammad Ali, he was
he
such...
He could get you in a few ways.
He would dance, float like a butterfly, sting like a bee, and he would dance around...
He's a poet.
But yeah, he was, yeah. But the thing about it was, but he was defense, boxing, I boxed before when I was younger. You're on defense and offense at the
same
time.
Yeah.
Where other sports, so, you know, you get those little breaks. So you're constantly looking at what's he coming in at. So you're constantly thinking about what he's doing. Then you're constantly thinking about what, you know, for three.
It's chess.
Yeah,
it's jab parry. You got to think moves ahead. You got to do a body shot to set up, a jab. Then the jab sets up your hook. It's three moves ahead in boxing.
Yeah.
It's a ballet out there.
But so he had ballet, perfect word. That's what Muhammad Ali did on offense. But what people don't realize,
he can move his head.
Is that he would just I watching him Foreman hit him, he just rattle body shots and watch him. He didn't even. Like he didn't even move. He was just like
da-da-da-da-da,
you know, like he didn't. He was so solid, and you know, getting hit in the face like that in the head, and he would just look and is that the best you got? What made Muhammad Ali so good was he didn't quit, but he also let you hit him.
Yeah,
because like
But he would look like him from the videos for sure. He'd pick his poison though, so he's letting him get hit, whatever, and he's tiring him out like that. But then he's also parrying. You know, he's getting those jabs, those two or three jabs. George Foreman was doing, you know, a bunch of body shots and then a couple of head shots. And in between that, Ali's hitting him three or four times in the jaw.
Yeah.
You know, a couple jabs and then it was perfectly timed. It was different than him just taking the blows and they're like a wall.
And he would hide behind the mask and just let him bounce it off the mask and move.
Oh, but Foreman was catching him though.
Yeah. Oh no, he got some shots in there. You know, but that's why it was such a great fight. Ali in it's still in his prime, you know.
32. Yeah, I don't know if that was after he took some of the after the draft. How he did? He took some time off.
Yeah, but the thing was, one of my favorite Muhammad Ali quotes of all time.
Yeah,
you know,
pick one, right?
Yeah, but my favorite is, it's hard to beat a man that doesn't quit, but Muhammad Ali fought. The last three fights, he should have fought. You know, he should have fought him. I mean, he was already suffering, you know, slurred words, but the money was so big, you know. But Don King told him on the second fight, you know, when he brought him back, he's with Foreman. He said, "I'm not gonna let you fight anymore." So Don King, you know,
didn't promote him.
He said, "I won't promote you because the last three fights," he just said, "Go ahead and hit."
Was he losing?
Oh,
this is all before my.
Oh yeah. He got Foreman. George Foreman not George Foreman, Larry Holmes was
his, oh, that's right.
Larry Holmes was his sparring partner and yeah. loved the man, loved the man dearly. And when he came up to box him, you know, after, you know, all he, like everybody said, shouldn't have fought his last three fights, and two of them were with
Don King.
Don King was a promoter, but also, you know, with not George Foreman, with Larry Holmes, and you know, he was Larry Holmes. If you watch that fight, he's like where Foreman was getting through, this guy was landing like solid, like, not wasn't just getting through, but landing solid. And he was telling the second fight they had the rematch. Because the first one he lost,
he wasn't quick enough to do it anymore. Because even though it seemed like Foreman and those guys were landing those punches, he was still dodging.
Yeah, right? And he was just he was. But the worst thing was that
that's sad to see boxing. Oh, everybody's like that. Everybody has fought one or two fights too many.
Yeah, and
because you don't kind of lose.
Yeah, and no, he got crushed. But Foreman, I mean Holmes, Larry Holmes was telling him, hey man, go down the second fight. Go down, man. Go down.
He didn't want to punish him.
And he said he called him every word in the book, you know, like that he never ever heard from the guy. Like no, because he was so, like, his brain was like, nobody can get me, no.
And he had no quit in him.
There was no quit in him. Yeah, that's a perfect way to put it. But that's the lesson of sometimes in life, we got to know when to fold him and know when to hold him. And sometimes you go, you know, because I don't know. I think his Parkinson's disease
may have stemmed from
taking too many hits.
I think a lot of people think that. I don't know the science behind it.
You know, and that's why I, you know,
it couldn't have helped.
No, and that's why. I look at, you know, sometimes it's you can overcome things mentally, but you know, I mean, I've cracked my head open 10 times. You know, I've had concussions, but. You know, fighting and basketball,
but there's boxing. Boxing
but
is,
but this is you're living. This is what you're doing every day.
Yeah,
you know. So when you're getting out there and getting banged in the head so much, you know, it's not a.
It's a brutal sport.
Yeah,
it's a contact sport.
Yeah,
yeah, you do it for real.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, but Ali was amazing, and it was like, there's a few athletes throughout time that just do it and they do it awesome and they can do it at their way. Mm-hmm. And then there's some that just make it look like a Michael Jordan, like a Muhammad Ali. They're ballet out there. It's poetry out there. The way they move, the way they're out able to dodge, the way they're able to see what's happening before it happens and kind of just do their thing. And I've always been in awe about that. You know,
yeah.
It's just there's some about the way that they do it.
Yeah, it's
poetry in motion.
It's just smoothness.
Yeah,
smoothness. And Muhammad Ali, you know. Like he did the rope-a-dope, but then but after those last three fights, he just did the dope part because he never, you know what I mean? He never he would let him hit him, but he never came back with that flurry.
No counter.
That flurry, like, okay, now I'm striking because I know you're tired. No, he was still tired, you know, and it was really sad to see. And but what
just so ahead of his time, yeah. Though, because. It feels like he was doing like what WWF, or I guess all fighters do it nowadays, but he would sell a fight. I mean, him and who was it, Howard Cosell?
Howard Cosell, yeah.
Yeah, just their chemistry, their on mic interviews, they're legendary.
Yeah.
I mean, he would rhyme things, he would call his round, like Babe Ruth would call his shots.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just so much to say about Muhammad Ali.
Yeah, and just an iconic when he
iconic when he stood for something,
and yeah, when he lit the torch for the Olympics.
Oh yeah, after the fact.
The long distance runner, they thought she was going to do it, and all of a sudden he cut. I mean, the whole world went whoa.
Yeah, he shed a tear. It's a chill moment.
Whoa, and he's shaking there, but he fucking lit it. And you know, he promoted other countries. Rumble in the Jungle. I mean, he'd go fight. He was international. You know, like Bruce Lee, you know, where they crossed over. He crossed over to other cultures. Other cultures looked up to him. So,
very charismatic.
So he was a whole, he was a CP, as we call it, the complete package.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. He was, forget CP3, he was CP1. You know what I mean? Muhammad Ali.
Muhammad Ali.
You know, so. Yeah,
because he fought Foreman, how many, two times? That was the second time? that he fought Foreman in the Rumble in the Jungle. I'm trying to think.
Yeah, back. Yeah, I think but the Larry Holmes was the last two.
Well, yeah,
and I forget who he fought before that. Oh, Leon Spinks beat
Leon
him.
Spinks beat
Leon
him,
Spinks
yeah.
beat him, but before Larry Holmes. So, I think he fought Leon Spinks twice because he might have beat Leon Spinks the first time or second time. But anyway, no, Leon Spinks beat him. The first time, meaning because Ollie didn't take him serious because he'd only had won six fights, so he didn't take him serious, you know, and so it only trained like for 2 weeks and he beat him. But then Muhammad Ali, that was his last great fight. His last great fight was when he came back and beat Leon Spinks and just outboxed him. He went got in. That's when they said he should have walked away. Is when he beat
a good victory.
Beat Leon Spinks, you know, young kid who beat him before, undefeated, and you know he was 6-0 when he came up the ranks. And, you know, so Muhammad Ali, you know, that's, you know, but you don't know when to fold it sometimes. Sometimes.
No, it's what you do.
You know, I mean, I remember playing basketball one time and
your mind still thinks you can do things your body that can't.
You know, and I was playing basketball down at Telegraph Hill Club years ago. And I remember this kid was just on fire, right? He was on fire and I'm trying so hard to beat him. And I came down on the last play. And I went up to block the ball, and I missed it, and he made the shot to win. But then when he came, and he didn't do it on purpose, but then when he came down, you know, he knocked my tooth out. And it was on the last play.
An elbow?
Yeah, yeah. And you know, my little tooth here that's been knocked out so many times. But it was like, you know, it's like, man, he beat me, and I'm injured, you know, on like the last play of the game. You know, whatever. I was playing defense. What am I talking about? And he made the shot on me, but he came down and hit me in the elbow, but you know, it was inadvertent. The guy was a nice kid.
Yeah, it was an act.
You know when it's for real, like that Russian kid.
Yeah.
You knew that was for real, but this guy wasn't. But you know, that wasn't my night. You know, yeah. I lose and then I get my tooth knocked out on the last play.
So double
like,
whammy.
Like if he had, you know, lost, you got to know when to quit. I would have taken a forfeit on that game. You know,
instead of the tooth?
Yeah, I would have taken a forfeit. No, I got my tooth knocked out a lot back then. I remember one time the guy, my friend did it to me, and he was at half court, and he turned and just turned the elbow. He's a bodybuilder kid. And I knew he didn't do it on purpose. He just turned because I came up behind to guard him. And I thought I swallowed my fake tooth, you know? And we found it later on. We found it clear on the other side of the court. I mean, it must have flown. It was funny.
Like your jump shot. It had that launch velocity.
Oh my God! Yeah, it was funny. So actually, you know, I had to go to the doctor and get it glued back on. But you know, it's holding good.
That's the opposite rope-a-dope you want to do.
Right. No, that was no fun. But you know, you have your good games, you have your bad games, and you know, that's life, right? So who's our next Reggie?
Our next Reggie would have to be, we'll go with Klay Thompson.
Oh.
His 30, a little newer one, 37 okay. points in the third quarter.
2015, right?
Versus SAC, I believe so.
Oh, yeah. I was actually watching that game, too. That was amazing. You know, it was an amazing game. And, you know, he was on fire. You know, it was just, Warriors were just, you know, going. And both guys, sometimes it was Klay's night, sometimes it was Curry's night, but you always knew one of them was going to be hot.
Every time.
And it really relieved pressure on the two. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they fed
off
each other.
When you know you got somebody behind you that can shoot, oh, I'm letting it go. I'm loose as a goose.
It also totally affects the defense. You can't double team.
Right. You know?
You double team, it's a wrap. You get those guys an open shot.
And it opens up the whole paint area. You know what I mean? It just opens it up. So gives you more options, you know, give and goes and bounce passes and stuff like that.
They call that spreading the floor.
Yeah. So that's what they, you know, they were so good. But that game was amazing because you knew he was on fire, but then when the third quarter started, you know, they must have gone in the locker room and just said, hey, dude, go have some fun tonight.
Yeah,
we're giving it to you. And once again, everything had to go right. He didn't miss a shot.
Nope, and I don't know what his pregame meal was, but Klay will just get hot like that. And it's awesome how the Warriors play because whoever has a hot hand, they just feed him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I do believe he ate at Foster Freeze that night, but he did have a bottle of Chili God's Green. So who knows?
There
who
you
knows?
Go.
I mean, just like Kobe got the bad sushi or something in the hotel room, you know, when he was out playing in a playoff game, and they think they did it on purpose because they were, you know, he wasn't in L.A. Well, who knows? Maybe Klay Thompson did better because he had Chili God's green hot sauce on his eggs that morning.
It makes sense.
We don't know. I mean, Popeye is a theory. I don't know. Is it real? Does spinach really work that well?
It's based on something.
Okay. Well, you know what? We're not doing any claims here. We're just.
But yeah, Klay will get hot like that, and you just, there's something about.
But just it was his also shot. like you said with the Reggie Miller, it was the same thing. It was like every time they got a rebound or coming down the court, Klay was, you know, semi open. I mean, you know what I mean? He had to have that spacing too, and he just always had the spacing. He was always one step ahead of him, and got that. Those open shots and then layups and free throws all added up to 37 points, best of all time. That next record you're looking at after that is really Wilt Chamberlain, because that was four quarters, but that's the biggest record besides Wilt Chamberlain's 100 points is to have. Oh, what's next? Oh, how many? What's the best quarter ever? And he had the best
37.
37.
He's up there. Yeah, I think Kobe scored what, 82?
No, 81.
81.
81.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's or yeah 81. Which is second best and is off the chart. What is Jordan's best?
I think 63 something in the 60s.
Yeah, wow. So
and then I think David Robinson.
He had to have got a 70. No,
I don't think so.
Wow. So
it's different. It's a different offense. The game was played different. It was a lot slower. There was wasn't any as much possessions.
So Kobe's 81 is pretty spectacular.
Oh, for sure. Hello. You know? And I think David Robinson scored in the 70s.
No, I didn't. Oh, okay. I didn't see that game, you know, but I just, you know, had to think everything had to go right. Like, he had to be open. He had to hit his, you know, high percentage of his shots. His teammates had to be, you know, hustling, getting rebounds.
Feeding them the ball. And the other thing is they have a documentary on this, or I've heard people talk about this, whatever, and the coach never decided to double team him. Even the Toronto players were like, don't you think we should double team this guy?
Oh, they didn't figure it out?
No, the coach wouldn't do it. It was like a stubborn coach. No, you guys, stop him.
yeah, one.
And this is before they switched
defense.
Kind of
like a Bruce Lee movie where they send one guy after another and he's just knocking him out.
Pow, pow, pow.
Yeah, you know, yeah. So, wow, that's great.
Yeah,
that's
but yeah, crazy. So it's crazy. There's something about basketball when a guy gets hot, and especially how the Warriors played those first couple of years. You know, just hitting the open guy, the motion offense. It was electric, and like you said, if Klay wasn't on, Steph was. If Steph wasn't on, Klay was. And if sometimes they both were, and it was just a wrap.
Yeah.
They sat so many fourth quarters.
Yeah.
Game over. They come out in the third with that death lineup, and it was a wrap.
Yeah. Who's gonna beat him? And they would toy with you. They would toy with you, like they let you get up by 20 or 30 points, and then they would come back and like a cat and mouse. I think they actually got a kick out of it. And it was the same thing with the Warriors in 74 and 75. You know, they'd come in and would be losing, and they'd let Rick Barry rest in the third quarter, and they'd come back in the fourth quarter, and it would be Rick Barry would do lights out, and they'd always win, you know? But it was almost like, you know, you have to be...
It was a given.
It was almost like you have to, when you're really good, you almost kind of give somebody a handicap.
Like in golf?
Yeah, or even in basketball, like when I used to play with my little brother, you know, I'd always go, okay, here's a 20-point lead, we're playing a 24. You know, and he could never beat me, and it was like, what am I supposed to do? Give him 24 points? You know, but anyway, it built character. It built character, right?
Yeah, sports always do. But yeah, the Warriors were super fun to watch, and Klay's amazing. I can't wait to see him back this year playing. I mean, we haven't seen him in 2 years, and I think people forgot just how good he is and just how smooth his shot is.
Oh, I haven't forgotten.
Well, of course not, but you know how it goes.
Yeah.
Out of sight, out of mind. And his shot is like a Ken Griffey Jr. swing, you know? It's just one of those things that is just so smooth and so his high release.
Yeah, the quiet confidence that he carries. Yeah. I like his persona on the court because it's a quiet confidence. I mean, you know, he just comes in, he talks off, but carries a big whistle, I guess. You know what I mean? It just, you know, and he's another guy that when he shoots, it's just like automatic. He just so mechanically, and his technique and everything.
His form is amazing.
Yeah, it's just like, boom, like, it's like, didn't look anything like my shot. You know, my shot was so ugly. People used to go under the basket and go, oh, when you shoot it, it looks like it's going to go way over here, and then all of a sudden it curves and drops right in, you know. But it doesn't matter how it looks.
Just as long as it goes in.
Just like in food, it doesn't matter how it looks. It matters how it tastes.
Yeah, that's most important.
I mean, presentation is the second, right? Presentation second, but what's number one?
God don't like ugly.
Yeah, so there you go.
No, I'm just playing.
Oh, wait a minute. That doesn't make... Okay. All right.
No, presentation is important, but I hear what you're saying.
Yeah. Yes.
But yeah, but Clay is super fun to watch. The Warriors are so fun to watch, and that game was amazing. I mean, it was against the Kings. So, I mean, they're still an NBA team.
Yeah, okay, let's not go there.
They're still an NBA team. Those are still NBA players, and they were still trying their hardest. So it's quite an accomplishment, and he's got quite a few.
Can we not take anything away from Clay on this one?
No, there's nothing to take away. I'm just extending the scene.
Okay. Because the Kings have they've had a couple good years. They're not like the Detroit Tigers or Detroit Lions.
Well, we're not calling out anybody here.
Okay, let's stop before this gets to be a train wreck.
Right? That's a different sport.
Sorry if we offended anybody.
But that's just how the game goes. So it was an amazing accomplishment. It was super fun to watch, and it just felt like it was like one of those things where like you just knew they were going in, just like Reggie's game, just like any of these big shots. It's just a feeling, and I don't know if it's fandom or there are just so many that they can't miss. It's you could almost feel when they're in the zone.
Yeah,
and especially if they're live, nothing like that.
You could see it through the TV.
Oh yeah. It's you just know? Electric.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could feel it. Like you said with Reggie Miller, you could just feel like, uh-oh, something's going to happen.
Yeah.
Because he started it, and he might finish it. You know, but you always watch sports that way when somebody's down at the end. Like, okay, Matt, I saw this little cartoon one time. It was in Crystal Springs Upland School, and it was a little cartoon thing in the yearbook where, they show the basketball team when it was a real small school, and it's like it shows the nerdy coach, but then they had a little quote under there, you know, with the glasses. Okay, if we can score four layups and three jump shots and blah 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 blah, mathematically we have to score every 0.5 seconds or something.
Oh, he did it like that.
But it was like, there's, you know, to win you'd have to make every shot, and they'd have to miss. It was like the Reggie Miller thing.
Yeah, and that's called analytics.
Yeah,
that guy was before his time.
But yeah, but it's, yeah, exactly. But he's calculating, and of course it was a joke that because our team was so horrible that but we can still win if we can do this.
Right. You mathematically know,
the ultimate optimism right there. Ultimate optimism.
You got to have it.
And that you have to in sports.
That's why they play the games.
But that's why you got to run through the finish line. You have to run through the finish line.
Every time, yeah, you don't quit.
Like, God, what was I watching? Oh, I was watching a thing.
Rudy?
No, I was watching. But football, it was football. And they were showing, it was showing all the best fuck ups where people like were celebrating the touchdown too soon.
Oh yeah.
And the dude comes running from behind and steals the football. I mean, the guy's like, the one dude like handed it back to him. He's running down and he put it behind him, and like all of a sudden, I mean, it's like, what are the chances of like, oh, I'm trying to showboat here and put the ball behind me and look forward? No, get that ball across. You know what, the dance, like we talked about, the dancing doesn't start till the referee puts his hands up.
Yeah, across the finish.
Running at the finish line, then you can do your dance.
But there's a million of those. I like it when they're the big races, you know, and the guy.
Can I just give a shout out to Robert Newhouse, Dallas Cowboys, real quick? Yeah. Robert Newhouse, way before your time, a lot of people. Best dancer the NFL's ever seen. I mean,
better than the Super Bowl Shuffle?
Yep, he was. Look him up. Robert Newhouse played for the Dallas Cowboys. And I'm a big Niner fan, but I got nothing against the Cowboys. I enjoyed watching them.
Well, it's all
some
in good fun.
Some of my
fun.
Favorite players were some of the Cowboys.
Yeah, the
players.
Players move around so much. Yeah, but it's all in good fun. You got to have
Barry Sanders played for the Cowboys. You know what I mean? So, not Barry Sanders.
Emmitt Smith.
Deion Sanders.
Oh yeah, Deion Sanders.
You know, I got nothing against the Cowboys.
No, it's not even
like
that.
America's team.
That's just how sports are. There's fandoms and all that. But I like when there's the guy's running in the race, and he goes to put his arms up, and the guy just comes jamming past him and wins the race before he does.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're classic, you celebrated too soon.
Yeah, it's too soon.
You know.
And then there's tons in basketball where the guy shoots the big long three, and then he puts his arms up and turns around because he thinks it goes in, but it's an in-and-out shot.
Yeah, and it starts rattling.
Yeah, there's many of those famous ones. Yeah. But, yeah. You can't celebrate too early.
Yeah, but once you do, celebrate in moderation.
Right.
You know, we learned that one the hard way. But, you know, try to be good out there and stay healthy, right? You know? So what else we got? Who else do we have? Another Reggie. Do we have another Reggie? Or is that it?
No, I don't know. Are we done with Clay?
In that game? No. Yeah, I think so. But I think we're not. But we're not done with him as far as he's making a comeback.
Oh yeah, it's going to be an amazing season. We can't wait to see him play again. And it's you know, medical science is, it's crazy though that these guys just come back and they're as good as new. Slightly
the,
used.
Once you cut the muscle, it's never be the same. But
they're not career ending anymore.
But these guys are coming back from, and he had multiple injuries, so. We're looking forward to him coming back and being healthy and fun to watch and many more years of having Clay around. So what's next? We got some food stuff, or are we gonna go with some more? Because there's more than
just that. And we'll come back to these greatest sports moments. It's one of those things that the list just gets bigger every year. It's so amazing. You could go break it down by era. Year by year, season by season, but so it sounds like you went to what is this called? Cracker Barrel.
Yeah,
an Americana restaurant / Home Depot type store, or
no, it's not like Home Depot. No, but they have, you know, you walk in there and you know you walk through a little store, a little gift shop. So you know, if you're driving down the road and you need a little specialty gift for, you know, your niece or nephew or uncle, dad, grandma, whatever.
Anything that deserves a
present. Yeah, you know, and holiday, little stuff.
Knickknacks?
So yeah, knickknacks. And, you know, they had Arizona State t-shirts in there because they're supporting the local, football program out there. But, you know, it's just like a warm energy. And then you go in there and all the, it was an older crowd, but all the waitresses were so sweet and so helpful and just so nice. It was a very comfortable atmosphere, you know, and entertaining, because I asked the lady, I said, oh, do they all look the same? And she's, no, they've got different, decor, but it's all that old style decor.
So when you say decor, what do you mean? Is it like a place that you could get a rocking chair or like some turquoise jewelry?
How did you know?
Because it just feels like you said Arizona, so it feels, I'm picturing it as style.
Yeah, they had a whole bunch of rocking chairs in the front, white rocking chairs that you could buy. And then they did have turquoise, like Native American little purses and
hilarious
stuff. But it's a seasonal place too, so you're going to get like the Christmas, you know, Halloween, whatever it is, they're going to have seasonal stuff. And it's got this little country store, you know, that you walk through. Of course, you have to walk through it to get to the restaurant. You know what I mean? They're smart the way they have it set up. And then they have like unique little things. Like they had little miniature Hot Wheels. You know, they had little miniature Coke bottles and all this little miniature stuff. So
did they have weird paintings on the wall, like a bad motel or?
I didn't see a bad motel picture. But no, it was just, and then they had big stuff too, like candies, like big size Hershey stuff. Like this,
big size Hershey, like how big?
You know, big, like not a little one, you know, so.
Ballpark me, like 2 feet by 1 foot?
No,
or?
Not that big, but
like a king size.
But, yeah, but king size. Like, so they specialize in uniqueness.
Okay, you know? Well, you said little Hot Wheels and little Coke bottles, so I'm thinking
miniature.
The Hot Wheel
wasn't bigger, much bigger than your thumb. It was tiny.
Tiny, okay.
Tiny, so it was more nostalgia or novelty. Excuse me.
Novelty.
Novelty
gifts.
Stuff.
Well, yeah, that's why I was thinking.
But guess
it'd be
what?
Awesome.
If you're on the road and you're on your way to a birthday party, hey, let's get something to eat. Kill two birds with one stone. There's got to be a gift for somebody in there, something unique that it was just, and the service, like I said, it was just. The ladies in there were so sweet and explained stuff to you and you know.
So it's a restaurant as well as as shopping.
Oh, yeah.
like sit down restaurant or to go restaurant.
It's sit down
in
the
lap.
But yeah, oh yeah, of course. But the atmosphere has all these old nostalgic pictures on the wall. But each one's different. Each one of their restaurants is different, but it's the same theme. You know,
Americana menu.
Yeah,
family style. So what? So breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I'm assuming.
Yeah, and the food, like, was amazing. I asked the waitress. I said, "Well, what do you think's the best?" And she told me it had a little of everything, but it was like a casserole thing with the hash browns. I don't know how they did it, because
they, instead of a dough, they use hash browns.
Yeah, well, they had the hash browns, but then they had like casserole stuff, like cheese and stuff.
Potatoes?
It was bacon involved, and then the the steak, you know, came out just perfect, and they put this rub on. I swear to God, it was my it tasted like my Luna Love rub, but without the heat. And it was like, this thing has got a great rub on it, whatever they use. They grilled it.
So the steak came with breakfast? Is that yeah. You guys went in there for breakfast?
Yeah.
9 o'clock, 10 o'clock?
No, it was late. It was late. Oh, late. It was almost before lunchtime.
But, okay, so is that window? Is like
11:30? But you know, breakfast is good 24/7.
Anytime. Oh, for sure.
You know, so I even asked her. I said, "What is this?" You know, and she said, "Oh, it's a casserole thing." Because they brought me grits, they brought me biscuits and gravy in a bowl. Ooh. So to be honest with you, I wasn't sure what was what, because I just said, "Give me what's your best, what you have the most pride in, what's your best thing." And when she recommended this deal that had a little of everything, I said, okay, let's see all your stuff. It came with these.
Oh, I'm on board. So yeah, they even gravy, came with little apples, steak, and a casserole egg thing with hash browns.
Oh, and then three eggs over easy. Yeah, So you had, you know, a little of everything, and it came with biscuits and gravy. And,
how was the gravy?
And
the
biscuits and gravy. Oh, it was awesome.
Were they big, fluffy, like Southern?
Oh yeah, but you just said the magic word. They were on the fluffy side. Which I really like. I like them.
I'm a huge fan.
Yeah, I mean, there's no such thing as a bad biscuit.
Well, if you can skip it.
Yeah, if you can skip it when you're out there at the river or lake, yeah, then it's probably that's no good.
But no, I'm about a fluffy biscuit.
Yeah, so they were really fluffy. They went really good with the biscuits and gravy. I put the biscuits and gravy.
Now, did the gravy come separate from the biscuits?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So yeah, do you put butter on the biscuits before the gravy?
There was all these little bowls out there, you know, of stuff that I couldn't tell because the grits was white, the biscuits and gravy was white, everything, you know, the casserole thing, I go, what is this? I'm not sure, because I just ordered what she told me to order. I didn't even look at it, because sometimes I just go, I can tell when there's a recommendation, when I ask for a recommendation, I can tell when they're like, it's how quick they answer. Yeah. Oh, everything's good. Well, a lot of times not everything is good, but, you know, when they come straight up and say, no, this is one. And I go, wow, I was just looking at that one. So I say, yeah, it's kismet.
It's a no-brainer.
Let's put the order in and let's see what you got.
Yeah.
And I was very pleasantly pleased with these guys. I mean, the gals and everybody in there just made you feel like there wasn't a pandemic. I mean, they were wearing their mask, but it just made you feel like there wasn't a pandemic because everybody was friendly and it was packed. By the time we left, it was packed.
Sounds like delicious.
Food. Arizona's, you know.
But explain the gravy. Explain the gravy. So the
biscuits and gravy was not overly,
sausage.
You know, when I make my homemade one, I used to make it. I would do real big chunks of sausage because it was like you don't need anything else. There's your protein and your gravy. You're on the road. But you know, a lot of times they don't put a lot. But these were like smoother little chunks, so you had more of the flavor of the sausage than, you know, biting into big pieces of sausage. But the flavor was there, and once again, it was fluffy like the muffins.
The gravy was, yeah, because that's what I'm saying. I've had it.
Because you could have flat gravy, yeah, and it's still good.
It's really good where it's more of a runny gravy.
Yeah, yeah. And I love that too, but this had the fluffy effect.
The thick gravy, yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
It didn't contradict the muffin. They were like on the same plane. You know, oh, fluffy and fluffy. How nice. Sounds like a pair of twin poodles or something. But it was just really awesome. Service, like I said, amazing.
Do you put butter on the biscuits before you put the gravy on there?
Oh my God! You know what? When they're that good, you don't have to. And yeah, I didn't. I left that. You know what? You made me realize. You know how they have the little butter things?
Yeah.
I left that alone. It didn't need it. Wow. Okay, that's another thumbs up for these guys. Can we give them the Chili God sample of approval for this week?
It sounds like they need it. But yeah, and then the steak. How? What is it? T-bone steak?
No, it was just a little.
Is it like a chicken fried steak or
steak? It was grilled. I was looking at I was looking at the chicken fried chicken, I think. But then when I wanted to see what she had, I wanted to see what this was all about.
It sounds like the,
you know, so that's when you go off the limb a little bit or whatever and say, let's go, because I've had it before where they, oh, this is our best thing. And you're like, how are you in business? No, we're not mentioning names though. But, yeah, you know.
So, and then 3 eggs over easy.
Yeah.
So this is a big meal. And then the hash browns, do they were there hash browns on the side?
No, that's that hash brown casserole.
It was in the casserole. Okay.
Yeah, so you got your spuds there, basic breakfast side.
Yeah, I don't know about 3 eggs and an egg casserole. That seems.
No, there wasn't an egg in the casserole. It was cheese.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Oh, okay.
I don't think there was. No.
I always picturing it different.
I don't know. It wasn't like real. It was. I don't know what else they put in there.
I see what you're saying, but no, like, that sounds delicious. So,
it wasn't
so
heavy
it was,
cheese.
It, it was hash browns basically with cheese.
More like cheese flavor, because I don't know what the other ingredient. I forgot to ask her what the other ingredient was, but it was something that made it look like a casserole, but it wasn't overly cheesy. But you could tell there was some was holding it together besides cheese.
They put some pizzazz on it.
I
somehow.
Don't know what it was. So I'm trying to think. I don't know. Maybe.
And then are you ketchup on the hash browns, or did you put the eggs with the hash browns?
Oh, no, I brought my Chili God's hot sauce in.
Oh, there you go.
There. And then, of course, I left the waitress a bottle of the red and a bottle of the green so she could take it home to her husband, you know, and enjoy it. But, yeah, it was Chili God's red and green on that one, you know what I mean? And it was, like I said, this when you have a steak that's so good like that, the A1 was right in front of me. I didn't
Don't
use
even it. Need
it. You know what I'm saying? I didn't use it. So, unbelievable food, unbelievable quality, unbelievable friendliness, great place, and Cracker Barrel. I don't know how many. I'm gonna find out how many there are, you know, and see if I can get my sauce in there. But definitely recommend it if you see one of those in your travel. Pull over.
And did you look at the lunch menu or the dinner menu?
Yeah, I think so. But it was one of those things where it was the first real meal of the day, and so. You know,
but like, they probably have a great burger then if their steak's good, then you know their burger is good.
Yeah. Oh, no. I have a feeling I'll find out more, you know, in the future. But it was all I can say is if you see Cracker Barrel out there, you guys, and you want a good meal and want to kill two birds with one stone.
Pick up a knickknack.
And yeah, there you go. This is your place. This is your place. And you can't go wrong because they're unique. One, you know, hard to find items. I mean, I've never seen miniature Hot Wheels that were the size of my thumbnail, you know. So, you know, if you need that unique gift, like, oh, they really thought about me, you know. It reminds me, one story before we close, I got to say, is it's a thought that counts, okay? Right? Do we all agree it's a thought that counts? And one time, it was Mother's Day, and my younger brother and I came home, you know, 5 o'clock, playing ball out at the... playing baseball at the field, St. Francis Woods, wherever. We come home, and my other brothers are like, hey, what'd you get mom for Mother's Day? And me and my brother were like, who said it was Mother's Day? And yeah, it's Mother's Day, what'd you get mom? And we're like, oh, fuck, you know, it's 5 o'clock, you know, so we run down to Woolworth, it was on Westport, and we run down to Woolworth, and we're trying to find something to get her, and they had these bowls, so what we did was we bought the bowl, which was really cheap, and then we went to the florist to get some flowers, and the florist was closed, so we're like, oh shit, we can't even get her flowers, but they had left all the old flowers in the garbage. Right? So yeah. Me and my brother are like, okay, let's get the scissors and whatever. We took the bowl that we bought. Or no, maybe we went there first and then got the bowl. But whatever. We put it together with the bowl, the cheap bowl, and then with all the flowers going into like an arrangement.
Yeah.
Right? Walked home. And here's happy Mother's Day. And my mom started crying.
Oh, there you go.
So, but once again, it's the effort. And you know, you got to do your follow through. So that's what I'm saying. So anyway, go out there to Cracker Barrel when you're in the neighborhood, and you'll have a very heartwarming, fuzzy, warm feeling, and you'll get some great knickknacks.
Yeah. So another episode of JFT, Just a Few Takes, the Snacks and Sports Podcast. We will see you next time.
Coming from the culture, huh?
Yeah, putting it down for the culture.
Let's do it.